There, boys and girls, I hope you're having a wonderful day. This is the Children's Bible Club. We meet with you every week at this time on this good station for singing with the Children's Bible Club choir, for a Bible quiz, sometimes with letters from some of you, and I'm Aunt Carolyn, here to tell you a good Bible story. You know, there are wondrous things in the Word of God, stories of mighty miracles, war battles, love stories, the exploits of kings, and all kind of wonderful events. And the best thing about it is that they are true. They aren't made-up stories or fiction. They are true. You can believe them for sure, and we can learn from them, too. Oh, I hope your Bible is precious to you and that you read it every day. Right now, though, the choir is ready to begin today's Bible Club meeting. How about you joining in and singing with them? Thank you, choir, for that good message and song. Say, kids, do you like animals? Well, I surely do. Big ones, little ones, all kinds, and God made them all. And each has a purpose in God's plan. Well, I'd like to tell you about a little book I wrote for children about animals called Kids Critters. It's a book in my Mighty Mini series, a very small book with a great big message all about different animals that God created and special lessons we can learn from each one. I'd like you to have one of those little books. They ordinarily sell for $1.95, but I'd like to let you have one for a gift of a dollar each, and it'll be postage free. Does that sound good? Yes, it does. If you'd like to have your own copy, just send your gift of a dollar. For each book you want, send that, and I'll pay the postage. And write Critters on a card or letter along with your name and address, and we'll get one right out to you. You'll like it, I'm sure. Just send your request to Critters, 6331 Chestnut Street, Milton, Florida, 32570. That's Critters, 6331 Chestnut Street, Milton, Florida, 32570. Okay, I'll be watching for your letter. And now, here's the choir again before story time. No, they weren't the FBI or the CIA. They were Moses' UA, undercover agents. Moses pressed them into duty for a very important task. When Miriam finally got well from her leprosy and the people could move again, they at last came near the border of Canaan, the land of God's promise. As they camped at Kadesh Barnea, God commanded Moses to call out a leader from each of the 12 tribes to go as spies on a secret mission. Their specific orders were to scout out the country without drawing attention to themselves. They were to see if the soil was good or bad, if the people were strong or weak, if the cities had safe, strong walls or were open and easy to enter, if there were good forests for wood, and if the crops were good. Moses said, "When you bring back your report, bring some samples of the fruit so we can see them too." So, with orders clear and a few supplies, the men disappeared over the horizon. They started at the south border of Canaan, went up to the north, and all the way back again. They were gone 40 days, almost a month and a half. Their families and Moses must have been mighty glad to see them come back to camp after so long a time. They could hardly wait for their report. Tell us, what did you see? What's the land like?" they cried. It was easy to tell that the land was very good, because the men brought back a clump of grapes so big that it had to be carried on a pole between two men's shoulders. They also brought back samples of beautiful pomegranates and figs. The spies said, "Oh, it's a wonderful land. It's so rich it flows with milk and honey, and it produces wonderful fruit like these we brought back." And the people were excited. They were eager just to strike camp and move on into the land. But 10 of the spies cried, "No, we can't take the land. Yes, the land is good, but the people are big and strong like giants. We look like grasshoppers compared to them. And the cities? The cities are great with strong walls. Oh, there's no way we could get in. We'd get eaten up. No, no, we can't go in." Joshua and Caleb tried to quiet the people. "No, don't believe these bad reports. We can take the land. God has brought us this far, and He will be with us now. Through His power, we will conquer." And the argument went back and forth from the 10 bad spies to the 2 believing spies. The people heard all this and took the side of the 10 negative men. They griped and complained against Moses and Aaron. "Oh, why did you bring us out here? We would rather have died in Egypt or in the wilderness than to be slaughtered by these giants and our wives and children be tortured. Oh, grief and woe!" And the discontent and griping got so bad that the people shouted, "Let's get a new leader! Let's go back to Egypt! Let's go back! Go back! Go back!" Moses and Aaron knew that surely wouldn't please God. They fell on their faces to plead for the people. Joshua and Caleb were so upset they tore their clothes to show their grief. "Don't do this," they cried. "The land is good land, a land of milk and honey. God will bring us in and give it to us. Don't rebel against the Lord. Don't be afraid. The Lord is with us." But the people turned on them violently and determined to stone them to death. At that, God Himself stepped in. The bright glory of the presence of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle. All the people could see it. "Moses, how long will these people provoke me? How long will it be before they believe me? I've protected them and have shown them signs and miracles, and still they won't believe and obey me. I'll kill them all with a pestilence, disinherit them, and build a whole new nation from you." Once again, Moses interceded for the people. "O Lord, even though they deserve punishment, If you destroy all these people, the Egyptians and all the nations around will hear of it and say that you weren't able to bring your people through, so you killed them. Moses prayed earnestly. He reminded God of his great mercy and long-suffering. He begged him to spare his people. Once more, in mercy, God did spare his people, but he didn't excuse their unbelief. This time, he pronounced a great judgment on them for their lack of faith. He said that none of these doubting, rebellious people would ever enter the promised land. Only Joshua and Caleb, who had believed God and had been faithful, would be allowed to enter. These rebels would have to wander in the wilderness one whole year for every day that the spies had scouted the land until every one of the adults, aged 20 and older, were dead. That would be 40 years. 40 long years. Then God would take the new generation, the very children the people worried would perish or be killed if they obeyed God's command. They would be the ones to go into the land he had promised them so long before. You see, boys and girls, God doesn't approve or accept unbelief. God looks for faith, and it takes faith to be saved. By grace are ye saved through faith. The Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary for your sin, but you must repent of that sin and trust in him alone. That is, receive him by faith as your Savior. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Call upon him. Receive him as your own Savior today.
You have been listening to the Children's Bible Club, a ministry of Grace Bible Church and Santa Rosa Christian School in Milton, Florida. If the stories and songs have been a blessing to you, why not write and let Aunt Carolyn know? When you write, be sure to mention the call letters of this good radio station. Send your letter to Aunt Carolyn, 6331 Chestnut Street, Milton, Florida, 32570. When you write, ask for a free brochure of all the Aunt Carolyn stories, as well as other good Christian books and materials for children and adults. That address again is Aunt Carolyn, 6331 Chestnut Street, Milton, Florida, 32570. You may also visit our website, childrensbibleclub.com. Keep listening and tell a friend about the broadcast so they can listen too. Now, I'm Adam Watt, saying God bless you until next week at the same time.